welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 58. On August 12th, 2013, this is a rare mid-afternoon recording for me. Usually I'm late night or wee hours of the morning. And here we are, back at the podcast, changing the world one ass at a time. I'm going to start off with something really sweet. This is a message that was sent to me on Facebook. It's lovely. So glad to finally find a lady who is open-minded to men in stockings, panties, etc., and also loves to use a strap-on. Blush. Are there any websites that you can recommend for cross-dressers? Also, what's a good dildo to use if I'm not very deep? The few times I've been pegged, it seems all I can take is about 4 to 5 inches. Is this normal? Well, I checked with my cross-dressing friends and got a couple of websites for you, and of course I'll post those on my blog, but one is crossdressers.com. That seemed like an obvious one, but it's good to know it's so obvious. Crossdressers.com, and then there's forums there. And then the next one is myhusbandbetty.com. So both of those apparently have forums where you can get support and talk about cross-dressing and explore it. And as far as the 4 to 5 inches, never mind normal. 4 to 5 inches is fine if that's what feels good, because your physiology is not going to be like everyone else. You know, all asses are different. There's plenty of shorter toys, so just seek out those and have fun. Vixen Creations and Tantus both have quite a few of all different sizes. And if at some time you feel the need to go for a deeper toy, then you can explore your depths at that point. Some men love shorter toys and they never want to go deeper. And then just like some men like dildos that are more of a normal girth, about 1 1/4 inches in diameter to 1 1/2, and they never want to increase it. You know, everybody's different, so let your ass be your guide. Okay, here is another very interesting letter. Hi, Ruby. First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking the time out of your life to devote such interest, commitment, and care to creating such a meaningful and poignant blog and podcast. I know that many people thank you, but from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for working hard to bring a bit of enlightenment to everyone in regards to sexuality. You're a great person. Okay, ego stroked enough? I'm joking, of course, but I can't praise you enough. I wanted to drop you a line with some thoughts that I had in regard to attitudes regarding pegging. I have had partners in the past and enjoyed pegging a great deal, but a common theme I do find among many people is the shame, especially for men. It makes you gay, it emasculates you, etc. You have touched on these things many times, but from the viewpoint of what other males will think towards the male being pegged. I have to make the point that there are a good deal of females that will also take a negative view of pegging, whether from a bad sex negative background or whatever hang up. And that is what hurts more. It seems to me that in our society, women are perceived to be more enlightened sexually than men. But when the disparaging comes from them, it hurts even more. My point is, the worst thorns that stick the hardest are from those we trust the most, or are expected to trust. And with pegging, it's not the threat that your boys will call you a pussy. It is that your girlfriend, or friend girl, will cast her eyes down at you. Just my thoughts. Keep up the good work. You are truly loved by your fans, and you have so many. Thank you very much for this lovely letter and for the ego stroking, of course. I do what I do mostly because I feel like this is what I'm meant to do here in this life. Wow, that got all cosmic really quick. But this unusual sexual act is truly my passion. You know, partly because I find it unbearably hot, but also because all of the amazing emotional and intimacy benefits that it has to offer. And as I have explored pegging through all of you readers and listeners giving me all your feedback and writing me, as well as my own experiences, I've been exposed to so much in the general world of sexuality. And you're absolutely right. There is so much shame, and it's all so needless and so harmful. I can't remember where I read this, but somewhere in my travels I encountered the observation that if there wasn't so much stigma and shame around sexuality, that horrible thing called revenge porn would lose its power. You know, websites like that wouldn't exist because sexuality would be no big deal instead of something that's kept hidden and secret in most people's lives. Because, you know, we're all sexual beings. And I find it so very sad to think that there are so many people out there who are so closed up about sex. It's sad that there are a lot of couples who never talk about sex, even though they do it. And it's also very sad that there are so many people who have desires that they experience shame about because of society's prissy attitude towards sexuality. Now, as to your point about, for the men, that the women's reaction towards the man being pegged, their enjoyment of pegging, being actually more hurtful than their buddies, or their, you know, their guy friends, that's a really important point. And this gets into the whole emotional territory that I spoke of. I'm going to read this one part of your message again. It seems to me that in our society, women are perceived to be more enlightened sexually than men. But when the disparaging comes from them, it hurts even more. My point is, the worst thorns that stick the hardest are from those we trust the most, or are expected to trust. And with pegging, it's not the threat that your boys will call you a pussy, it's that your girlfriend, or friend girl, will cast her eyes down at you. More enlightened, I would translate that into women are more in touch in the emotional realm. And you mentioned more enlightened sexually. I guess I'm putting that in the perspective of just sort of in general. Women do tend to put more emotions into sex and react sexually more emotionally. So maybe it is related there. But what I also see here is that men let their emotional walls down the most with women. Now, all men are different, and they let their walls down to whatever extent they're comfortable with. But much more of that seems to happen with women than their bro buddies who have the whole gotta be a man thing happening. So do many men allow themselves to be at their most vulnerable by that act of letting down their walls with the women in their lives? I think they do. And I think men let women in more than they let their guy friends in. They trust them with their tender parts. So the risk of allowing that vulnerability, of course, is that those tender parts where you can be hurt the most are therefore exposed. And judgment about sexual desires is such a painful thing for either gender, both genders, because there is so much shame surrounding sexuality is why it's so painful. There are a lot of women who have negative views of pegging for a variety of reasons. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of those before, but society reinforces misconceptions through the shaming as well. And sometimes it's just about their lack of comfort with the entire subject of sex, not to mention pegging. You know, men are often characterized as being more sexual than women. And in terms of libido, I'm not sure if that's true. There's some discussion about that, but that really wasn't my point. My point was that men seem to explore sexuality a bit more than the majority of women. So their minds are just a bit more open in general, or at least they've been exposed to more. You know, maybe through porn. In fact, now that I think about it, probably very likely through porn. So when you combine that with the slut-shaming stuff that women are subject to, if they are open about their sexuality or if they say they love sex, I think that women, as a reaction to all of that, have some built-in sort of contractedness and shame and even avoidance of seeming too sexual. Not too long ago, I came across a post about slut shaming, and the ensuing conversation that happened in the comments floored me. It basically reflected a number of men's attitudes, not all of them by any means, but there were a few of them there that basically thought that while wild women, so to speak, were fun to fuck, they were not interested in marrying one. So my point here is that women are not really at all encouraged to explore their own sexuality, much less alternative types of activities like pegging. So this obviously compounds the difficulty of telling your woman or friend girl, I like that friend girl thing, of telling them, it increases the difficulty of in telling them that you enjoy pegging. And I'm so sad and sorry for you guys that this hurts so much. That's why one of the most important factors in revealing this to your partner is trust. You know, trust that you will not be disparaged. Excellent word, by the way. And also, trust that if pegging is not your cup of tea, you know, speaking from the woman's receptive hearing this point of view, that you will state so calmly and lovingly and even a little regretfully that you know, the Venn diagram of your sexual desires with your partner does not include pegging. You know, at this juncture, let me mention the Mojo Upgrade. A lot of you guys have heard about this, but it's an online sexual desires assessment, I guess is what I would call it. And you take it with your partner, and it's built so that you do it on separate computers. And so the only things that show up in the results are the maybes and the yeses. So it lists a whole bunch of different potential sexual activities. And I mean a whole bunch. And you either say yes, no, or maybe. So it takes the yeses and the maybes and puts them together. And that's the only thing that you see. So, you know, when you tick that box next to pegging, if you're the guy, that would be something she would never see if she wasn't into it. So that seems to be at least a safe way of assessing. Right. So that seems to be a safe way of at least assessing where she is now about how she thinks about pegging. Because as we all know, with a lot of information, minds can change, definitely. You know, perhaps a man who wants to talk with his partner about pegging would do well to do the Mojo Upgrade with her first, because not only would it let him know if she's open to considering it right away, but I suspect that just simply the action of doing the Mojo Upgrade, which people have raved about, that the resulting new activities that they find to explore together, that's going to lead to more general openness about sex, as well as, the ultimate aphrodisiac called communication, talking about what excites you and what you fantasize about with your partner. But, letter writer, your letter helped me to understand why some men are so worried about their women not respecting them if they tell them they enjoy pegging. Now, in that statement, there's an element of thinking that is all about the penetrated one somehow being lesser than or beneath the penetrator. And I love what Charlie Glickman has to say about that. He suggests that men who think that way take a long look at what their attitudes about women are, because women are basically penetrated all the time in sex, and that would mean that the man's attitude about women is very far away from what one would call equality. But, you know, back to the hurt part, yeah, I see that men do trust their women not to disparage them more than their guy friends. In fact, that's a common form of communication between guy friends is disparagement. Interestingly enough, it's a common communication. It's a common way for them to communicate with each other, is give each other a hard time. Supposedly all in fun, you know, it's the guy code. Be tough and never show the vulnerability, because vulnerability is assumed to be weakness, when nothing could be further from the truth. And I think I've spoken before about when men show their vulnerable side, like so many women claim they want them to, that sometimes women can't handle it. And here's my understanding of that. For years and years and years, men have allowed women carte blanche with their emotions. What they do, what they kind of train themselves to do, what they're expected to do, is to hold space for the women when the women are overly emotional or just emotional, period. So what that translates into is that the man will set aside his own feelings, whatever those might be at the time, to hold space for the women having their feelings, which is lovely. But think about it. We, as women, have never been trained to do the opposite. When a man is having an emotional meltdown, we don't have the experience, we don't have the skill of setting aside our own emotions and holding space for his. And I find that very interesting, because it also kind of dovetails with, you know, we talk about how we want men to be more sensitive and, you know, more emotional, to let out their emotions and their sensitivity. And sometimes when men do that and they cry or they get really emotional, Some women will freak out because they're really not used to men expressing their emotions like that, especially grief, especially tears. So I think this is another thing that women have to not only learn to receive their emotions, but receive well. And that has so much to do with the vulnerability that can result from pegging, is too. It's not just the vulnerability of your partner revealing their desires to you and talking about things that you may have a reaction to. I've told a story a few times of an ex-boyfriend who introduced me to my G-spot. I had an emotional reaction the first time that he did it. He handled it perfectly, holding me, letting me cry without trying to talk to me or assigning blame or, you know, anything. And yes, you know, recall my podcast about the perfect response to a woman's tears. That was it. Okay, well, some men get very emotional, even to the point of tears, when getting pegged. And it is so very important that women not freak out and learn to hold that space for their men's emotions, just like we've been expecting them to do for decades. It's not fair to ask them to be vulnerable unless we are ready to hold space for what comes out. And, you know, as far as back to the letter, it's not fair to ask them to be vulnerable unless we're ready to not judge what comes out. You know, never ever disparage the discoveries in the deeper layers, because those reveals from the deeper layers are gifts of intimacy. They truly, truly are. And now it is pegging celebration time. I found this story posted on Reddit, actually, and I private messaged the poster to ask if I could post it here. And this couple graciously gave me permission, and they actually added some more to the story. The original post was titled, "I want to briefly talk about how happy I am and how important it is to be absolutely open with your partner." So, from the happily pegging Reddit couple, this is what they titled it: "How Pegging Helped Save Our Marriage." The wife and I had been going through a rough sex patch for the last year or so, sex maybe once a week if I was lucky. And here's a comment from the wife: maybe twice a month, he's being generous. First thing that started improving things, we both lost a bunch of weight. I'm down 35 pounds. I'm not sure how much she's down, but it's at least 10 inches off her waist. And a comment from the wife: 33 pounds. She looks amazing. I can't keep my hands off her. Not that she wasn't beautiful before, but she's so much happier and skinnier now. Second, we've been slowly trying to be more open about sex and talking about our wants and needs. It was a bit awkward at first, saying things like, when I, finish in you... But now we can have a totally normal feeling conversation, but about the dirtiest, kinkiest things. Third, last weekend we both drank enough to kill a small horse, doing shots of tequila while watching television, and we finally opened up to each other. After, we went to the bedroom and commenced sexy times. Somehow the topic of her using a strap-on came up again. I can't be more specific than that. The whole night is still pretty fuzzy. I finally admitted that I thought it was an awesome idea and I really wanted her to. I even wanted to stop right then and buy one on Amazon at like midnight while we were both sloshed. She's always admitted to having some penis envy and joked about wanting to fuck me with a strap-on, but I never thought she was really serious. She was. What I never told her was I wanted her to. I've always loved massaging my prostate while I jerk off. At first it was like, that's kinda gay. But after I thought about it, and a lot of liquor helped with courage, I said, no, it's not gay if it's a chick that's plowing you in the ass. So we wake up the next morning and I ask if she remembered our discussion. She was still gung-ho on it, too. We went to a sex toy shop and looked at a few options. We were both pretty embarrassed, and the clerk was being really clingy, and we were the only ones in there. So it was kind of weird to be checking out the strap-ons together while this dude covered in tats wanted to show us all the different lubes and kept making comments about the quality of the dildos we were looking at. We had looked at a few options online beforehand, and she liked the idea of a double dildo without straps the best. We were shocked when we compared the prices in the store against what we had seen online, but I said, fuck it, let's get it today because I don't want to lose my nerve and chicken out. We ended up going with a Fun Factory Share, the standard size. When we got home and unboxed it, I was a bit overwhelmed. It was way bigger than I thought it was in the store, and I was pretty nervous about that night. So we finally break out the toy. It took a little while to get it in her. It's quite sizable on the female end. She wore a pair of panties with it coming out over the top to help hold it in place. We started really slow, warming each other up. I was crazy excited when she finally went for my ass. Over about an hour, we slowly worked up from her getting a finger in to all four fingers. The whole time, I loved it and had no pain at all. The most I'd ever put in by myself was two fingers. She'd read how to massage my prostate and kept doing it while she had nearly her whole hand in my ass. I've never felt anything like that before. We had the best sex of our lives last weekend, and it lasted 10 times longer than any other sex session we've ever had. And we did it again the next night. We've had to take a break the last few nights because we're both sore, but we're getting back on the horse tonight and fucking each other's brains out. I feel so great that I can finally be completely open with her and tell her what I really want, and she doesn't think I'm weird. I was so afraid that if I told her how I like playing with my ass, she'd just get grossed out. Instead, we're looking at toys on Amazon, and we bought stuff that we both wanted. I now have a large Doc Johnson butt plug that feels amazing, and she got a set of Luna balls. I just wanted to share how absolutely happy I am with myself and my relationship right now. And here's a comment from the wife. I feel so much closer to him than before. I'm so much happier than I used to be, and I feel so much more secure in our relationship. And back to him now. The best part of this entire experience is that we've become much more open about everything, including sex. It feels like a part that was missing has finally been filled both emotionally and physically. I love the pure physical feeling, and she loves how much I love it. Experimenting with new and different things has helped us open up more with each other than never before, and has helped save our marriage. My wife admitted to me, after the second time we tried it, that she was very afraid last year that we wouldn't make it. Now she's not worried. Pegging has helped save us and our relationship. Yay! Oh, yay! Part of the reason I wanted to share this story with you is because it's such an affirming tale of what can happen when you open up and communicate with your partner about your desires. Now, I know I just spoke at length about how that can be hurtful when it goes badly. And this is not one of those cases. And even though it took liquid courage, which I commend you both on imbibing at home and not driving, at least that took down the inhibitions to the point of being able to reveal to each other. And that turned out to be the magic bullet for you two. That allowed everything, it's almost like it allowed the dominoes to start falling. To begin the process of talking about sex, talking about your desires, and then exploring them. From the sound of it, it sounds like you two are just off and running. I have occasionally heard from other couples using the words that pegging like saved their marriage, telling me that. And to me, that just reaffirms how powerful the experience can be in deepening intimacy. It really can. Because saved our relationship is indeed a very powerful statement. Okay, let me see. There's a bunch of things I want to comment on. One is the choice of equipment. You may or may not have done some research on my website, which tells you that those double dildos really need a harness. I'm glad that it seemed to work okay with the panties, but you might want to invest in a really nice harness. The spare parts Jacques is a really awesome one, but there are also yummy leather ones that Aslan Leather makes. So you can stick with the panties if they're working like a charm, but especially the leather harness will hold that dildo perfectly inside her and against you, or against her, so that it doesn't move around a lot when she is using it. So, and I'm curious too, because most of the time when people don't have a good harness the first time, something like panties isn't really sufficient to hold it well enough to have a good time with it. So I'm curious about that part. But let me go on to say, okay, I want to read this one part again. We started really slowly, warming each other up. I was crazy excited when she finally went for my ass. Over about an hour, we slowly worked up from her getting a finger into all four fingers. The whole time I loved it and had no pain at all. Well done. You know, she researched where the prostate was, and that is so excellent to educate yourself before jumping right in. And you two just perfectly exemplified my intent when I encourage people to take it slow. This is how it's done, people. Pay attention to this man's time estimate here, about an hour. Now, I mention this because lately I've encountered too many posts in various places all over the internet that talk about how it has to hurt for the first time. Bullshit. It does not. And I am so tired of people saying it does have to hurt for the first time, and then it gets better and starts to feel good. And I'm going to say that again using a different profanity. No fucking way. And I will continue my vituperative attack against all who claim anal sex must hurt in the beginning. Oh, I am in fine form with my vocabulary today, I must say, throwing those five-syllable words out there like they were popcorn. So no, it does not have to hurt. It really doesn't. And thank you, happily pegging Reddit couple, for demonstrating that so clearly. If you warm up for an hour, you many times can get almost four fingers in there. I love how you both talk about feeling closer and more connected now, and I am so happy for you. Okay, one more thing. I really liked how you said that at first it was so awkward talking about sex, because it always is. The first few times something specifically sexual comes out of your mouth. Okay, let me just personalize that. The first few times I was able to have something really specifically sexual come out of my mouth, the first few times I asked for or talked about it, I felt insanely self-conscious, and I thought that I sounded ridiculous, so it really does take some getting used to. I spent a lot of time not talking about sex, and now I talk about it all the time. And it was an interesting transition. You know, I spent some time exchanging tawdry emails with my ex-boyfriend, and that gave me some practice. And nowadays, I exchange incredibly sexual emails with the aforementioned Zach that talk about, well, everything. You've heard me read some of those emails, actually. So yes, it can take some getting used to. But learning to talk freely about sexual subjects is so important. And it can feel so freeing. You know, like the happily pegging Reddit guy said, now we can have a totally normal feeling conversation, but about the dirtiest, kinkiest things. Oh, dirty and kinky is so fun. And I want to leave you here with my favorite sentence in your entire story. No, it's not gay if it's a chick that's plowing you in the ass. That is classic. I love that. Okay. Let's see. Let's go on to something different. I have been listening to Dan Savage for a long time. So right now, I'd like to draw your attention to one of his recent podcasts. And the reason I want to let you know about this is because it starts off with an extraordinarily intelligent look at sex workers. I have friends who are sex workers. I've done a bit of research on the subject, and I know that the reality of sex trafficking is different than what politicians and people who stand to profit from the criminalization and stigmatization of sex workers would like you to believe. It all comes down to what the definition of it is, so that they can then say that any, you know, they can then include that in their statistics. And when they throw those statistics out in public and garner sympathy, then they get funds for different things. When lawmakers and anti-sex work activists say sex trafficking, they mean any exchange of sex for money, even if it is between two adults and completely voluntary. So they have managed to include, say, a woman in Sweden who decides she wants to be a sex worker in the United States. She voluntarily comes over here, she pays her way, and she voluntarily engages in sex work in a very consensual manner. She is termed sex trafficking. I have no idea how they got away with that one, but this is my point, is that this whole subject is pretty screwed up, and the whole subject of sex workers being illegal, sex work being illegal, is pretty screwed up too. So I'm going to post the link to Dan's podcast, but I'm also going to post a link to a blog by Mistress Matisse. She is a pro-dom, and she had a blog entry from May of this year that is probably the most thorough, far-reaching, and based-in-fact look at the subject. For example, there was this bizarre advertising campaign back a couple of years ago, and it had all kinds of celebrities like Justin Timberlake, Sean Penn, Jason Mraz, Ashton Kutcher, saying, "Real men don't buy girls." And, you know, one of the statistics that Ashton Kutcher threw out there, and it was repeated by many, many, many news agencies, was the statistics of 100,000 to 300,000 children turning to prostitution each year. There are not 100,000 to 300,000 children in America turning to prostitution every year. That figure, 100,000 to 300,000, it's the same number that's found its way into dozens of reputable newspapers. It came from two University of Pennsylvania professors by the last names of Estes and Wiener. Gotta love that one. But what no newspaper ever bothered to explain is that the figure actually represents the number of children Estes and Wiener considered at risk for sexual exploitation. It's not the number of children actually involved. So again, anytime there's a lot of money to be made, there is the possibility, sometimes even a probability, that situations will be presented in such a way to bend public opinion so that more monies, grants, allocations, and what have you are diverted into what is perceived as child sex trafficking. Now, don't get me wrong. It happens. But it's not even close to the scale that they would like everyone to believe. And as a result of everyone watching that advertising campaign and news sources repeating unchecked statistics, most people probably think it's a huge problem. And it's really not. So all of this ties into sex work being illegal, which I really disagree with, and which is what this podcast is about. Dan makes some very good suggestions about how that can change, and I'd love for you to listen to the podcast. In fact, he makes a point that sexual surrogates provide sexual service for the disabled people, you know, people who might never otherwise have the experience of sexuality and the intimacy in it. You know, just like that movie recently called The Sessions with Helen Hunt, that was about exactly that. So why is that any different than sex workers who often have clients who may not be physically disabled, but oftentimes are very socially disabled to the point of likely never being able to have a sexual experience? So anyway, I'm going to link to the podcast. I'm also going to link to Mistress Matisse's incredibly well-searched and informative essay on the subject. And there is an article I'm going to link to by that I drew some information from in the Village Voice. And this is actually an article from 2011. And that's the one that takes on the claim of the 100,000 to 300,000 children. So, yeah, Dan talks about the idea that if we had an online vetting system for prostitutes and their patrons, and then punished people who operate out of the system, we really could do what is best for women who are prostitutes, which is what everybody says they want. And we really could be more effective at stopping child prostitution, because underage sex workers who try and be vetted, of course, would be rejected. So yeah, give the podcast a listen if you have time. It's brilliant. And it's at the very beginning of it. So if you're not a Dan Savage kind of person, you can listen to the first part and skip the rest. Okay, a little announcement. Most of you who listen to the podcast know that I have story subscriptions for erotic pegging stories. They do lean towards the female dominant BDSM genre. So know that if that's not your cuppo porn, you probably wouldn't like a fair number of my stories. But if it is, you can click on the story links in the left margin of my website and it'll take you to the subscription page. And I also wanted to let you listeners know that I posted a couple of stories written by my illicit email connection, Zach. We have an interesting collaborative relationship with the writing, in which he writes the stories and I edit them. You can find those stories by Zach on my website for your enjoyment. In fact, for you subscribers, if you didn't notice, I posted a sequel to one of my stories that Zach wrote. It's the story Bitch Goddess, and he wrote a sequel to it called Come Again, Officer. And I put that up there as a bonus for my subscribers. I think Zach offers, with his erotica, a very definitive male first-person perspective. You know, I write a number of my stories from the male first-person perspective, and I think I do pretty well when I attempt it, but he nails it for obvious reasons. So enjoy, everyone. I hope you do enjoy his stories. Here's a request. Go visit pegging101.com and give me your feedback on the beginnings of my informational-only pegging website, the one that will hopefully not scare off people who enjoy pegging as just one more way to make love without any of the other things that many of us find so fun, like feminization or BDSM or roleplay or chastity or whatever. I would like Pegging Paradise to be the place where discussion about all the overlapping fetishes and desires are welcomed. But I also want Pegging 101 to be a place where newbies can come for information and they can be ensured of finding a more pure pegging educational experience, shall we say. Because, you know, the most important thing is to each their own. I try and make room for everyone. And if I can spread the word more about pegging by carefully just having a pure pegging website for I'm not really sure. I was going to say for the majority of people who are interested in pegging, I don't really know if that's accurate or not, that the majority of people who get interested in it come from a more vanilla, shall we say, sexual orientation, or if they come to it because they have a more kinky sexual orientation, and so that's how they got exposed to it. I couldn't tell you. I guess I was going to say the majority of people don't have that additional kinky orientation because the majority of people are not kinky. So if somehow they ran across the idea of pegging and they wanted to research it, I don't know. Anyway, I'm talking myself in circles here. The point is, to each their own. I do try and make room for everyone. Okay, back to my book writing. Have a lovely sex talk-filled week, everyone. I know I will. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. You can like my Facebook page, subscribe to my blog. And by the way, there are cool things that I post on my blog that never make it to the podcast, so check that out if you like. My podcast is on iTunes, and it's also available directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. Please send me all your questions and stories, and you can send those to ruby@peggingparadise.com, or you can click the right Ruby links at the upper right of every page on my blog. Thank you, as always, for downloading and listening, and happy pegging.